The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 17 degrees and cloudy at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Lola Gomez Ribeiro. And here are today's headlines. Two researchers win Nobel Prizes for their work on vaccines. Concordia's support staff are potentially going on strike. And teachers vote to go on strike after their contracts expired over 6 months ago. The new vaccine rollout is set to begin next week with a new batch of boosters. Quebec says this new booster is better suited for the current variant of COVID. And experts say accessibility for this vaccine is crucial for this upcoming flu season. Jiawei Hong reports.
The provincial government had previously announced that about 100 service centers will be open for the vaccination. A new set of booster better suits for the new COVID variant is set to roll out in the upcoming weeks. Epidemiology expert Dr. Christopher Labro says accessibility is crucial at this time of the year especially.
The simpler we can make the process, the better off we're going to be. And the more accessible we make the vaccine, the better off it's going
to
be.
Quebec is advising the high-risk population to get a booster shot in this fall first. And then the rest of the population can assess the new shot. What matters most is that the healthcare system remains functional even though the uplift in case, Dr. Lopez says.
We worry that things are going to get a little bit worse and we're going to put strain on the healthcare system, which, the healthcare system may not be all that well equipped to handle a huge surge of cases.
Both the flu vaccine and the COVID booster are offered together at the vaccine sites. As of today, you can schedule your vaccination in advance of the upcoming flu season in December on Click Sunday. For Concordia News, this is Jiawei Hong.
Two researchers who pioneered the mRNA vaccines were awarded a Nobel Prize this morning. mRNA technology led to the development of the COVID vaccines. What makes this mRNA technology such a big deal?
So regular vaccine use kill or inactive viruses, but mRNA contains the genetic code of the virus, which allows the body to create antibodies. mRNA is quicker to develop, so it takes around 3 months to develop a vaccine instead of the usual six. This is especially important with COVID vaccines and might save lives since there are so many variants that it gives researchers a quicker turnaround to create a new vaccine.
mRNA technology is used for COVID vaccines, but how long ago was it developed?
So initially, the technology behind mRNA vaccines was developed in 2005, and it's that 2005 technology that won the Nobel Prize this morning. I spoke with Christopher Labos, a cardiologist with a degree in epidemiology, and he told me this timeline is a point many people forget.
So for all the people who say that the mRNA vaccines are this new vaccine that's been untested, that's not strictly speaking true. The research had been going on for decades.
There's been a lot of misinformation around the COVID vaccine. Will this Nobel Prize change that?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of people saying things like the vaccines were developed too quickly or that they can't be trusted, which is claims that scientists and researchers have disclaimed. There's no way to know for sure how people will react to the Nobel Prize, but Labos thinks that people often just ignore facts that don't fit into their pre-established beliefs. However, he hopes that some people might be encouraged to research the vaccine and trust it a bit more.
Will you ever reach everyone? No. Is there a hardcore that will never be convinced no matter what? Possibly. But most people are not in that segment of the population. Most people have concerns and want to hear the truth.
Labos hopes this prize will encourage people to take interest in the science behind the vaccines.
Thanks, Marique. That was Marique Glurier-Strikeman with Concordia News. A recent survey suggests that many Quebec school support staff are struggling to pay rent due to low-income salaries. The Fédération des employés et employés de service public is urging the government to take action to prevent striking in the upcoming weeks. Emily Pasquarelli has more on the story.
In mid-August, the Fédération des employés et employés de service public, also known as the FEESP, launched a survey asking their support staff union members about their economic situation. The findings are of great concern to the union, as more than half say they can't afford paying for the basic cost of living. Given that the average salary of a support staff worker is around $24,300 a year, Andrea Di Tommaso, a spokesperson for the FEESP, isn't surprised by the findings. She highlights the 12% of school support staff who attend food banks.
Yeah, this was something that we really thought the government should know, because you can't have people that work for the government rely on a government-funded, organization for their, for their daily needs.
Di Tommaso says the government doesn't seem to be listening to the union's concerns. As the government's current offer is 9% over 5 years, this does not reflect projected inflation of 16.4% up until 2027.
That combined with setbacks for the pension plan and the really high amount that we pay for our group insurance really sets people back. And we fear that we may have to go to a strike at the end of October, beginning of November.
Di Tommaso empathizes with support staff workers undergoing financial problems.
I'm lucky enough to live with a partner that has second income.
Okay.
So we're able to make ends meet. But if anything happens, like the car breaks down or I have to move to a different apartment where the, I'm going to have trouble making ends meet.
As the FEESP intends on pushing the government to give them a comfortable living wage, Di Tommaso and her union workers hope to not go on strike. Emily Pasquarelli, Concordia News.
Parents with children and teenagers may have to take some unwanted days off from work this fall to stay home with their children. The teachers' union has voted to give their union a strike mandate. Zunayet Anis reports.
The member of Fédération Autonome des Enseignants, or FAE, voted for a strike. Over 90% of teacher union members voted in favor of this move. The last work contract expired 6 months ago. Teachers are asking for a raise of 20% over 5 years. The government offered 9% over the same period. The union fund is offered inadequate due to the previous contract offered to other workers. For example, the member of National Assembly voted for a raise of close to 30% of their salary, and the SQ was offered nearly 20% raise. Sylvain Duclos is a high school teacher and a member of CSQ union. He said the negotiations have been very difficult. The money is not a problem. The level of difficulty we face is an important part of this negotiation. In a statement, FAE said it is working toward better conditions and the status quo is not an option. Concordia News reached out to the Treasury Board, but it was unable to comment before the broadcast. The union planned to continue negotiation in hope they can avoid a strike this fall. Jonathan is Concordia News, Montreal.
Two cars burst into flames early Monday morning, and Montreal police are investigating it as a possible case of arson. Emergency responders were called at 3:45 a.m. to Tremblay Avenue in the LaSalle Borough. The fire left heavy damage on the vehicles and damaged the front of the building where the cars were parked. There have not been any arrests related to the incident. People in the Jean Talon riding in Quebec City are voting in a by-election today. The election was triggered because National Assembly member Joël Boutin resigned on July 31st. Six candidates are in the running for the position. Polling stations will be open Monday from 9:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. Today, the MU organization is inaugurating a mural in tribute to Françoise Sullivan. A multidisciplinary Montreal-based artist, Sullivan has a career spanning over 80 years. Adamant Balin has more.
Yes, I am here on 1281 St. Christophe Street, standing in front of the wall of the Hyatt Hotel at the corner of St. Catherine and St. Hubert. We are only a few hours away from the unveiling of a mural honoring Quebecois visual artist Françoise Sullivan. For now, the mural is covered by a veil filled with color blocks of shades of blue, orange, yellow, and pink, with threads going from the top all the way to the bottom for the unveiling. We can see Sullivan's faint signature at the bottom left. The mural is big, and with a surface of 21,000 square feet, 300 feet height, and 64 feet width, this becomes the tallest mural ever created in the heart of downtown. The mural was created by Sullivan herself and was inspired by several of her works. It was produced by the MUT dance to honor the Montreal painter, sculptor, dancer, choreographer, and photographer, and to celebrate her artistic versatility for her 100th birthday. Other parts of Les Matisse, a group that promoted and strived for artistic expressions in depth renewal, she represents a creative force in the Montreal artistic scene. The mural will become the 30th mural of the collection of Montreal Cultural Builders initiated by artistic organism MU. MU director Elizabeth Annan-Doyle says that it's a collection they started in 2010. and that it aims at painting murals to honor Montrealers who have had an impactful career. He says that Sullivan is one of those people. The unveiling will be this afternoon at 4 p.m. with Mayor Valerie Plante, artist and mural subject Sullivan, and the seven other partners for this project. Adam Balan, Concordia News, Montreal.
October is already seeing an increase in warmer temperatures. The average is 13 degrees for October, but this week's temperatures will reach new highs, up to 26 degrees this week. Yesterday's high of 24 beat the previous high for October set 60 years ago. Meantime, a new national poll suggests that many Canadians are worried about climate change and believe it is the reason for extreme weather increases. 72% of Canadians surveyed said they are very worried or worried about climate change. Today marks the first day of Sustainability Month at Concordia. For the coming weeks, Concordia students will be able to partake in workshops and activities. Geneviève Sylvestre reports. So Geneviève, what is Sustainability Month?
So Concordia Sustainability Month will run from the beginning of October up to November 4th. So it's a bit longer than a month. If they've broken it down into five main themes. So the first theme is this week, and that's Sustainable Agriculture and Biodiversity Week. Then we also have Wellness Week, Zero Waste Week, Climate Action Week, and Fostering Community and New Futures Week. Basically, every workshop and activity will be tailored to the theme of the week. The project is also in partnership with the Association for the Investment of Sustainability in Higher Education.
What are examples of events?
For example, today one of the first events is a Mind, Heart, Mouth volunteer gardening workshop, and it's at 2 p.m. today. Mind, Heart, Mouth offers students the ability to learn how to grow their own food, and anyone who volunteers for at least 1 hour can reap the benefits of the harvest. The gardens are on the Loyola campus, kind of behind the science building, and anyone can volunteer. Andrea Tremblay, the coordinator of the gardens, says that organizations like hers can help sustainability at Concordia.
Environmental stewardship doesn't happen just by reading about sustainability and about environmental issues and the climate crises and even social and health crises at this point. It happens through experiential learning. It happens by doing.
So as she was saying, she thinks that physical learning is one of the most effective ways to help mitigate the climate crisis. And as a PhD student, she's been at Concordia for a long time, and she's seen how Concordia sustainability practices have evolved throughout the years. And she thinks personally that they're headed in the right direction and has seen a lot of growth by the part of the university. I also spoke to Danielle Burrell, who's a PhD student in building engineering, and he does a lot of research on renewable energy, especially when it comes to green buildings. He said Concordia is taking note of the research him and the other people in this program are doing, and they are working on more energy efficient buildings. However, they could always be doing more, he says.
Adding more of those things. I mean, the commercial buildings they have downtown with a lot of glass windows, it gives a lot of natural daylight and everything, but it's not so energy efficient. So, I mean, you could look into ways of getting a balance for that as well.
How can people learn more about Sustainability Week?
So if people are interested in partaking in Sustainability Week, they can find a list of events on the Concordia website. And if they have any questions, they can always reach out to the specific organization they're interested in to ask for more information.
That was Geneviève Sylvestre on Concordia Sustainability Week. And in a win for women's soccer, over 54,000 people attended the Arsenal versus Liverpool match in Women's Super League in London yesterday. The match featured the highest number of in-person fans in Super League history. Liverpool ended up beating Arsenal 1-0 at the Emirates, with Miri Taylor getting the winning strike. Women's soccer has seen a dramatic increase in viewership over the last 10 years. With the advent of streaming services, more viewers have begun following the WSL and the other women's leagues, including the UEFA Champions League. The temperatures will remain stable today, hovering around 20 degrees. From tomorrow to Thursday, expect the unexpected. We'll hit highs of close to 30 degrees. But all of that disappears on Friday when we expect rain showers. And that's your news. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Lola Gomez-Rivero.